There's some things I want you to embrace. You are or you are not. You either are in Christ or you're not in Christ. And somewhere down the line, you're going to have to square up, where are you? Because where you are determines where you will be. You see, that's the message of Christmas. God has come to us. Now hold on, that sounds so familiar, doesn't it? For those of you and those of us that have grown up in the church, God comes to us. But maybe we need to scramble that litany for just a moment. How many of you have had a moment in the human journey where you went, uh-oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Not I can't believe this is butter, but I can't believe this is happening to who?
Me.
How many of y'all have ever said that before? How many of y'all, it was okay with you when it was happening to somebody else? But now it's my what? It's my problem. It's my dilemma. It's my issue. You know what I say? It's my turn. It's my turn. We all basically go through some similar stuff. We really do. And that's why when we come together, there's some things that have become important. It's important to come together. It's important to understand God is with us. God came to us. Andy, you and Trish have had some moments where the angel has spoken more than once, hasn't he? In the midst of God, why? God be with us. And because God is with us, the hope of heaven is in us. I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to come to this conclusion today. The hope of heaven is you. The hope of heaven is in you. What do you think? How many of y'all believe that? The hope of heaven is in you. Well, tell your neighbor, the hope of heaven's in me. Come on, I want y'all, come on, the hope of heaven in me. Coach Cox, can you believe the hope of heaven is in you? Along with the hope for a state championship, the hope of heaven. See what I'm saying? I mean, it's real. Gertie, what do you think? The hope of heaven's in you. What do you think about that, girl? Now, remember that when you're storming Walmart. What's in me? The hope of heaven. When you hear all the stuff that goes on in this world, somewhere, we must embrace the hope of what? Heaven. You know, I don't know if times are difficult or they're not difficult. I know that we have time. What do you think? Sometimes I feel like things are going all right. And here's what happens to me. Just about the time I feel like things are going all right, they all fall apart. Any of y'all have that moment? So really, difficult times depend on where you stand. True? But the hope of heaven runs through all moments of time. Can anybody say, well, thank goodness? How many of y'all realize God knows what's going on? I don't think anybody else does. What do y'all think? Here's my analysis of all that's going on this past year. I don't think anybody knows what to do. What do you think? They've admitted so. How many of you all were surprised that the first thing we would do in America at a problem is throw money at it? How many of y'all was that? That wasn't shocking to me. This amazes me, our logic. We give people who bankrupt stuff more money. Does this seem illogical to you all? My father, after I had blown all my money, guess what he said? Good luck. But you know what Jesus says? I am coming to you to be with you. There is a consequence to not following Jesus. And guess what it really is? You miss heaven. You miss heaven, Kathy. But you know, I got to thinking about this. As I was contemplating this message, I said, God, you know what? I got a lot more gray hair this Advent than I had last Advent. And you know what he said? You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen what's coming yet. But you know what? The hope of heaven is in all seasons of life. True? The hope of heaven. And you know what? I just wanted to pause today, this Sunday of Advent, and remind the followers of Jesus that I so dearly love and get to go through this journey with. What about the hope of heaven? You know what? I haven't heard anything this year about the hope of heaven. Have you? I've heard very little preaching on the hope of heaven here lately. It's all about how will the Lord bless me? Here's how the Lord has blessed you. You ready? Hope of what?
Heaven.
Well, go with me to 1 Peter. It's in there. What are we going to do with this thing called hope? How many of y'all got some hope? I hope I'm going to be here tomorrow. How many of y'all say stuff like this? I hope next week that I hope things will go. What we use this word. How many of y'all remember this? Some of you will remember this. Some of you don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember the Sears and Roebuck wish book? Woo! That's when Christmas was real. Amen? Huh? How many of y'all remember the wish book? Man, I remember as a small child. Reynolds, you probably even remember the wish book. You're not that old, you and Eric. Shane, you remember the wish book? It came in the mail. This is back in a primitive time. It's back in a primitive time. It didn't come on email. It came in snail mail. It came in the mailbox. And you would, this is before we started Christmas shopping in August. It's an old primitive time, ancient days, some of you may. Merle, did they have the wish book all the way in Burksville, Kentucky? It was an international book. It made it to Burksville. Lisa, was it in Gamalia? Absolutely. How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all remember that as a kid? How many of y'all remember getting it? And it had a cardboard sleeve on it, you know? And you'd pull it out of your sleeve. Because it's top secret information, Freddie. You know who knew about that book? Santa Claus. And I remember I'd go through that book, and I hate to tell you teachers this, that's the only book I read. I could read that book. Amazingly, my reading ability picked up when it came to the wish book. And I would circle. I would circle. And I would circle again if I wanted to make sure Santa Claus got it! And I'd leave that wish book out in front of my parents, and I would open it, and I would leave it at their table. I would leave it in the living room. I would leave it beside my father's nightstand. Because sometimes he didn't get things real well, so I was helping him. But you know what I thought about it? That is a wish book. You know what that means? It might come true, it might what? I don't know about y'all, but I circled a lot of stuff. Now, this is an old day. It may happen different today. But I circled a lot of stuff in the wish book, but I didn't get all the stuff I circled. How many of y'all that happened to you? So next year, you know, I'd circle it with a different color, hoping it'd come in. See, in the wish book back in the old days, they had mini bikes in there. Mini bikes. Y'all remember mini bike? It was like a little motorcycle with a lawnmower engine in the middle of it. And I loved anything with a motor on it. And I would super circle mini bikes or go-karts, especially mini bikes. Guess what? Santa Claus never put a mini bike or a motorcycle under my tree. And finally, later on, as I was talking to Santa Claus, he said, "That's because we wanted you to live." Later on in life now, I found out that Santa Claus knew that some of my wishes were deadly. How many of y'all ever had some deadly wishes? What you thought was going to be good turned out really bad. What you hoped for was not what you needed. Now I want to show you something. Some of us, we got the Bible confused with the Sears and Roebuck wish book. You know, many of y'all flip through these pages and you think this is a wish book. This is what might happen. This is what God might do with my life. Can I tell you something today that is very important you embrace? This is not a wish book.
Amen.
This is not a wish book. This is not a magic book. This is not a psychology book. This is not a law book.
This is the Word of God. It is not a wish. It is a promise from heaven. What it says is in motion, and what it says is happening. What do you think? The Bible's not gonna happen. It is happening.
Yes.
He's been born. But we kind of want to treat it like a wish book. We kind of want to turn the Christmas story into a Hallmark story. It's a great time for family and friends together to understand the security of giving to one another in humanity. Baloney. The Advent is that God came to us because together we couldn't go where God could take us. Now you got the hope of heaven. See, what's in you is the hope of heaven. Where can you get the hope of heaven? Only Jesus. Come on, y'all talk to me.
Jesus.
That's it. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I believe if I'm a good upstanding person, a wonderful citizen. You know, Jamie, in D.C., they're running buses that just say, be good for goodness sake. Well, I'm out of luck. I mean, I bargained with Santa Claus when they told me he could see everything I'd done. That scared me. Then I figured out Santa Claus was full of grace, too, because if he had seen some of the things I'd done that year, he came on through anyway. But then as I grew up, I realized there was something much greater than a saint. There was a God, and His name was God, and He was the I Am, and He is the Is, and He is the Will Be. And guess what He said? In spite of how you behave, I'm coming. What do you mean by that, Don? Now, here's what I love about Jesus, and nobody's stopping. America can go, dear Jesus, we have voted that we don't want you in Christmas. And guess what God will do? He'll come on anyway. By the way, let me ask you a question. Where did y'all get this calm, peaceful, wonderful, silent night Christmas story? I encourage you to read the Bible. Guess what was going on when Jesus was born? Political chaos. Caesar Augustus had sent out a decree. He wanted to take a census. Why did Caesar want to take a census? There's only one reason the government ever takes a census. They want to know where you are only for one thing, not the hope of heaven. What? Ain't nothing changed in 200 years. Caesar says, I got some bailouts to do. And how do you bail people out? Take your money. That's what was going on at Christmas. We got this story like it was a fairy tale. Like, and by the way, man, I got a whole new perspective on Christmas. A few weeks ago, I was in a donkey basketball game. I'd never ridden a donkey before. You know, I never in my life. Eric, do you think different about Mary this season than you did before? Me too. I was on this donkey. Donkeys do not ride good. I know why the girl had Jesus after she got off the donkey. It'll put you into labor. I thought I was going to have a baby after I got finished riding. It's a donkey. And she rode this donkey. And why did they have to go back to their hometown to get a census? It was a government action. The government was involved in the birth of Jesus. What do you think? But it wasn't the government using Jesus. It was God using the government to get done what He said would be done. I'm trying to tell you something. We're not in charge, even when we think we are. We're not the ultimate control, even when we think we are. Isn't it cool that God can use a decree of Caesar? God can use a village inn. God can use a manger and bring in the hope of heaven. So today I ask you a question. What does He need to use in you to bring through the hope of heaven? How many of y'all live like the hope of heaven? Well, look, there's importance to be hopeful people. I mean, there either is a heaven or there isn't a heaven. What do you think? What do you think? Somewhere Christians are going to have to get out of la-la land. Jesus Christ either is the Son of God or He's not the Son of God. Some of you go, well, Pastor Steve, if I stand real firm on Jesus, I'm going to offend a bunch of people. Offend them with the hope of heaven. Oh, golly, how offensive. I love you and I want to tell you about Jesus because I want you to go to heaven. How offensive can that be? What's very offensive when you think you're the hope of the world. I did want to tell you something. I'm not the hope of the world. Did y'all figure that out? Oh, yeah, good. Good. Let me help you. You're not either. Amen? Clancy, you're not either. Now, you might be some man's hope out there, 2040, something like that, but you're not the hope of the world. Make sense? Does that make sense? You and I are not the hope of the world. So it leads us this Christmas, this Advent, to step in and say, wait a minute. If I'm not the hope and we collectively cannot be the hope, is there some hope? What do y'all think? Is there some hope? What about it, Reverend Dr. Ward? Is there some hope? Absolutely. Watch, not maybe, but what? Absolutely. Now here's my challenge, Christmas challenge. We got to start declaring. Look at here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Just wanted to remind you who we are today. Just wanted to remind you of the hope of heaven. As we come into the holidays, somewhere heaven's got to be mentioned. Why in the world did Jesus Christ come to earth? You and I are a bunch of sinners. And as good as we are, for goodness sake, here's the problem with that philosophy. We're not good. We're not good. Well, just even those that think you're good, you're only good on your own terms. Because you get ticked off when I show you stuff that you're not good at. And you just do it like, well, that doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. Have you noticed how everybody who wants to save themselves stays out of everything they do wrong? Or just, I can be good to my own standard. How many of y'all are good in your own mind? I am. In fact, I can't understand why Elizabeth doesn't see how good I am. And there are times I explain to her my standard. You know what she does? She just shakes her head at me. Says, I'm glad you're saved. Because the only hope you got's Jesus. That's it. You know what? That's the truth. The only hope any of us have is who? Well, let's see what he says. First chapter, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas, I want to give you something. We need a little praise. We need a little praise. I want to challenge you. Hope begins in praise. Praise and thanks and gratefulness. I hope you were great. How many of y'all sat down at Thanksgiving and you were thankful for a few things this week? I was just thankful to be at the house. Our heat's been out for about 4 or 5 weeks. And guess what? Well, I came in the house a couple of nights and it was cold. Because our stuff at our house, when it goes out, like our heat doesn't go out in the summer. It goes out the first day it turns cold. Boom, everything was gone. It didn't work. And even we got one of those little fireplaces, you know, fake fireplaces that you hit the button and it lights up. I hit the button, nothing lit up. So I was sitting there watching TV with a blow dryer. You know, I mean, you know, you get down to necessity. Huh? It was cold in there. You know what? I was thankful for the house being warm. Quite honestly, I got to be confessional. I've never been thankful for the house being warm. In fact, most of the time I'm turning the thermostat down. Because my wife likes to have Miami in the living room. You know, I'm like, honey, turn that down. And now I told her the president said he's going to put a proposal and he's going to tax you if you get over 65 degrees. So I said, keep it low. She goes, I'm cold. I said, that's what they make jackets for. But I was thankful to have heat. How many of y'all have got some things that you may be missing now that you took for granted along the way? How many of y'all take church for granted? I have before. I've taken this beautiful music for granted. Sat there and sung. Then I went to like, how many of y'all have been to like some place where they couldn't sing? That'll make you appreciate music real quick. Or how many of y'all have been to a church where nobody greeted you?
Nobody laughed. Nobody praised God. Everybody just sat there and stared at the guy that was talking, hoping this would be over by 5 till 12 so we could go get lunch. Because our mission was to give God glory for 50 minutes and then go eat. If you look at the congregation, it looks like they eat more than they praise the Lord. That'll come out if you stare at the congregation. Praise be. I mean, there's simple phrases in the Word of God we miss. Praise be to God our Father, who in His great mercy has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Now, how many of y'all are grateful that you're not headed where you used to go? No, come on. Talk to me for a minute. I mean, how many of y'all truly can feel this for just a moment? On the first Sunday of Advent, you're not headed to where you used to be. You're not going to inherit what you were going to inherit. Thank goodness. Because guess what? If you're going to stay in your sinful life, guess what you're going to inherit? The consequences of a sinful life. Hold on, I got to say this again. If you stay in your sinful life, you will inherit the consequences of your sinful life. Now, does everybody understand this? Sin is what?
Sin.
Death. Thank you, Dave. It's not bad. So everybody wants to run around going, well, sin's really bad. No, that's so chummy. Sin is death. You stay in your sin, you will stay in death. Praise be to God our Father. God has brought life into the world. You see, the hope is not that I'm going to become good. The hope is I'm going to be brought to life. And you know what, church? I want to challenge us this Advent season. We need to be running around this town doing our thing, bringing life, the life of Christ into the world. Amen? You all did it last week. Tim, you did it in the Hispanic church up in Barron County. Guess what? You brought some coats. And I want to thank this congregation that they gave some coats, because you couldn't have brought any coats unless they gave some coats. You see, it all works together. And here comes Tim and Keith and a bunch of crazy looking, you know, Caucasian people. And they're bringing all these coats to these Hispanic brothers and sisters. And they're saying, in the name of Jesus, be blessed. Let me tell you what that is. That's not ministry. That's bringing life to where things look dead. That's bringing hope to where things seem what? Hopeless. Can I preach just a minute? Well, I'm going to tell you, if we would become a people of hope, there'd be some folk that listen to us. But guess what we do? We drag on and complain just like the rest of the world. Walmart's out of Furbies. Who cares? I can't get a Wii. My Christmas is ruined. Wonder what toy it's going to be this year. Bailout. Maybe that'll be the new toy. Man. The reason I'm talking about this bailout, it is symptomatic of a philosophy we've built for 50 years. It's called this. I can do whatever I want to do, and there'll never be a consequence. Let me help you. The Bible says, not the wish book, the Bible says, a man reapeth what he sows. And so let me just tell you, if you think you're going to do all this wicked stuff and you're going to get away with it, a man reapeth what he sows. He says, you sow to the flesh, you sow to unrighteousness, you sow to sin, death shall you reap. But then, wait a minute, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us a new birth. How many of y'all are thankful that you got a new birth? Can I tell you what comes in the new birth? Three things. In a new birth, you get some new eyes. I'm going to see things different. See, I'm going to see the possibility instead of the impossibility. Does that make sense? He's given us a new birth. This Christmas, we need to rejoice over the new birth. Timmy Young, you don't see like you used to see, do you? You could only see a few objects. True? Now you can see what? Multiple possibility. How many of y'all see multiple possibility? Look at your neighbor and say, I can't even see what God's going to do with you yet. And then I can't even see what God's going to do with you yet, man. Who knows? See that? Ah, you get some new eyes. Amen? Let me tell you what else you get. You get some new language. How many of y'all need some new language? How many of y'all need to quit saying bad words? How many of y'all say bad words all the time? Yeah, these are bad words. I can't. That's a bad word, bad phrase, bad words. How many of y'all say things like this? I'm no good. I'm oppressed. How many of y'all run that one? I'm oppressed. Everybody holds me down. How many of y'all hear that one? The reason I didn't get this is they don't what? Oh, some of y'all use that one.
Well, they don't like me.
So? How many of y'all ever said new words? So? They don't like me. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus came at Christmas, did anybody like him? Think about it, Nathan. He couldn't even find a room to be born in. Did anybody like Jesus? Let's just put him in a manger. Let's not put him on Main Street. I've heard a lot of talk about Main Street and Wall Street all year. Main Street. What about Manger House? That's not even mentioned, is it? The manger. Jesus came and gave us a new birth. You're going to get some new words. New eyes and new words. Seeing possibilities in speaking truth. What does that do? Truth is, I got a new hope. Truth is, I got a new direction. Truth is, hold on, the scripture says, I've been born by the mercy of God into a new what? Birth. That means I'm not what I used to be. You cannot follow Jesus and be the same. Somebody understand that? He said, well, Pastor Ayers, I cannot philosophically get my mind around that. Well, you know what? God's not asking you to philosophically get your mind around that. He's asking you to give your life into that. And once you get into it, then you can begin to see. Does that make sense? Here's what we want to do. We want to understand God before we know God. Does that make any sense? Instead of start following God and seeing what will happen and listen to the words will be new. Amen? And so we got two things. We got new eyes, new what? Words, new phrases. How many of y'all got new phrases in your life? Hillview, I'm going to get on you if anybody tells me what you cannot do. I hate that word, don't y'all? There's some words I despise, I hate. This won't happen. That's impossible. That won't ever work. This won't ever work. Baloney. Baloney. What did God say? And here's the third thing you get. Ready? New path. New direction. In the new birth, there's a new direction. You ought to be full of life. Look what he says. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. How many of y'all glad that you got a living hope? Huh? Not a dead hope. But you got a what? See, that's the testimony of the resurrection. Not only was Jesus born, but guess what? He was brought up from death into what? Living hope. How many of y'all glad Jesus is still around? You go, well, I can't see him. Well, then open your eyes. So I hear people all the time say, well, I've never seen Jesus. I said, you've never looked. Don, how do we explain you? Serious. Jesus. Were you most likely to attend church?
No, sir.
Then what brought you here? Jesus. How do you explain me preaching? I've checked my annual, my whatever they were, yearbooks, whatever they had. At one set up, there's not one page in the back of the annual that says, Steve, good luck on preaching through the rest of your life. I did not find that in my annual. God interrupted. God set a new direction. God set new hope. What do you think? Isn't that amazing? New eyes, new words, a new direction, a great hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I just wanted to leave on this today. And into an inheritance that can never perish. Underline it. If
you're counting on your 401k for retirement, you're going to be working a long time. I don't think this is a bad time, to tell you the truth. I really don't. Some of y'all may never come back. I don't think it's a bad time. I think it's a good time for us to re-up on Jesus Christ. Because y'all know as well as I do, we've trusted in everything but God. Come on, let's be honest about it. You know what? If we'll ever repent, God will put us on a spiritual plane that we have not seen before. Words would come out of our mouth that we've never spoken before. And directions would open up in this church that would be amazing. We've trusted in everything but who? God. But just how many of those CEOs, how many of you all reckon those CEOs, after they got off of private planes, knelt down on the tarmac and said, "Dear God, we're a bunch of greedy schmucks. How many of y'all reckon they did that? How many of y'all have ever gotten down in your driveway and said, "Dear God, I'm a greedy schmuck. I care about what I'm going to get, and I give very little." You reckon God would really change your hope if you came to that truth? Huh? Look at this. You and I have an inheritance that cannot be taken away. What do you think about that? Randall, nobody can take your heaven. What do you think about that? They can't take it because who holds heaven? Jesus. If the government marched and said, "I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take away your salvation," I'm going to look at the government and say, "You ain't a big enough boy. You can do all you want to." They say, "Well, we can kill you." Oh! You know what I'm going to tell the government? They want to come kill me. I said, "You just remember when you do, that makes me a martyr. And there's a promise in the truth book that I get a sword because I've been martyred. And I'm going to sit up under that angel in Revelation." Y'all ought to read the Bible. There's some good stuff in there. "And when I come back, I'm going to make Call of Duty look light. Because the first person when I come back and I'm going to be looking for is you." They said, "We're going to kill you anyway." Good, bring it on. Every one of us would be able to say the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. We would be able to look at those who take our lives and go, "I'll be back." You're saying, "Ayers, you're crazy." Not in the book. I tell you what crazy is to keep thinking we're going to save ourselves. That is insane. Somewhere there's the hope of heaven. And His name is Jesus. Amen. Look at here. I'm done. Into an inheritance. And let me tell you what this inheritance will do, man. Look. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Go ahead and read through the First Peter. I'm going to bring that all through Advent. So, did anybody learn anything today? You got three things. Christmas challenge. Go see some things differently this year. Amen? See things differently. See the hope of heaven in them. Some of y'all need to go to the mall and be the hope of heaven and not a disgruntled shopper. Never will forget. I tell you all this every Christmas. I never will forget one of my Christmas memories. I worked at the mall when I was young, and I worked as kind of a stock boy. And you know the after Thanksgiving sale? I had to separate two 80-year-old women over a pair of 32-34 Levi jeans. And I had to say, "Honey, if you'll get in this corner, and honey, if you'll get in this corner, I'm taking this pair of jeans with me because I'm going upstairs because I think we got another pair, and I'm going to give both of you all a pair of jeans so that y'all don't have to beat each other up with your canes." I remember the price. They were on sale for $19.99. And people were going crazy. Levi, these are before you had jeans with, you know, holes in them. The way you got jeans, holy jeans back then was from hauling hay. Got some that just looked like they do. I got some in my closet. The old ones hanging up somewhere, up in the attic or something. And they got all them holes in them just like all these young people wear. Now, back in my day, ain't no boy ever wear no girl jeans now. They all wore regular jeans. I notice that's popular today. But they wore straight up man jeans. If you was a man, you wore man jeans. If you was a woman, you wore women jeans. The hope of heaven. We better get to the hope of heaven. There's some things all going on crazy right now. Amen? And it may be just I'm getting old. But I look at some stuff like I was going down the mall. I was at the mall and I just watched people come out of the mall. I couldn't figure out what some people were. It's coming out of the mall. I was like, what is that? Is that a boy or a girl? And then I thought to myself, ooh, I'm getting old. Because my dad used to do that. And I used to go, oh, me, it's happening to me. And then guess what I realized, Freddie? Even getting old is a good thing if the hope of heaven's in your life. How many of y'all getting old is not a bad thing because you're getting closer to the hope of heaven? See life like that. Speak things that are positive and speak things that are hopeful and speak things that are truthful. Don't be putting down possibilities. All things are possible. How many of y'all believe that? All things are possible. I believe if you don't believe that, you're not ringing with Bethlehem. You're not ringing with Bethlehem. You got to ring with Bethlehem in you. If Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, could be born in a barn, in a manger, and that's where salvation comes from, then I think everybody's got a possibility to do great things. Amen? Those of y'all that say, well, I come from nothing, so did Jesus. And he did his without any assistance from the government. Oh! Caesar didn't help him. He tried to kill him. Go read the book. But he couldn't. Because Jesus kept speaking hopeful things. I'm not here on my own accord. I'm here because the Father sent me. The Father and I are one. Amazing things he spoke. And he had a new direction. I'm only here for a little while. But I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am. Those are great Christmas words. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have some hope. What do you think? What do you think, guys? Let's have some hope. Y'all a little more hopeful today? Y'all over your turkey hangovers? Well, it's time to roll. Advent. Advent. God is with us. Emmanuel, God be with us. Let's stand together. This altar's open. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he surely wants to know you. You got to realize you're a sinner. Dear God, I have sinned against you. Dear God, I believe you to be the hope of the world. Dear Jesus, I want to be saved. What do you think Jesus will do? He'll save you. He will save you. Come and repent. How many of y'all need to just pray? Dear God, I need to be hopeful this Christmas season. Make me an instrument of hope. I need to see things hopeful. I need to declare things hopeful with my speech. And I need to walk in those new paths that I see and I declare. Amen? And just let God speak to you and see what he's going to do. This altar's open. I want you to pray for folks. How many of y'all want to pray people get saved at Christmas time? Here's the cool deal. They will listen to Jesus at Christmas. So speak up. Don't get so caught up in the decorations that you can't see the Christ. Okay? Hold on tight to your families. That's a blessing. Hold on tight to your friends that have been with you for a lifetime. That's a blessing. Hold on tight to your church. We got some special things here. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to coming to church on Sunday. And you say, well, you're the preacher. I served the church for a long time. I wish I could have missed every Sunday. Because it wasn't a hopeful experience. It was another fight. That wasn't a joyful moment. It was destruction. So I learned a long time ago there's a big difference between religion and Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm the hope of the world. I will not fade out. I will not go away. And nothing can stop me. That's the words of Jesus. Amen. And so come, this altar's open. Pray with me. Lord, you've led people to salvation today. Holy Spirit, teach us that we can be saved by you. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring us to this altar and let us be thankful for the things we embrace. Lord, we are grateful for eternal life. We forget to tell you that at altar time. Lord, we're thankful for the thousands of people, literally, that have been saved through Hillview Heights Church. Lord, we thank you that you have brought people and you continue to bring people to mighty possibilities. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to speak your grace through our lives so that the world might know what you said is true. Bring those who need to be baptized, those who need to be healed, those who need to be saved, those who need to be touched. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open, and may they be blessed. Amen. Come on, church. This altar is yours. Come on. Let's pray for folks. Let's pray that God's movement will be all over this Christmas season, all right? He is the hope. He is the hope.